All right, then. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is Thursday. Lots to get done. Breaking news, and nice to have you here. Let's get it. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right, first things first. The beef segment on a Thursday. If there's something you want to beef about, it's probably going to be at the top of hour number three. But we are fluid today. We're chasing a few things that could move. But no matter what, we will have a beef segment sometime today. So get your thoughts together. Get your beefs together. You know it doesn't matter what you beef about. Sports or non-sports, I will take it. As it stands right now, it'll be the top of hour number three. That said, hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Call with your beef later on or call with something else right now. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And, of course, hit me up on social at Jim Rome. Coming up at 9:40 Pacific time, former Steeler linebacker and a two-time Pro Bowler, Ryan Shazier. Always good to touch base with him. That's coming up at 9:40. Hour number two, Arkansas. Off back-to-back Elite Eight runs. Top 10, my guy Eric Musselman is back in. Muss at 10:20. Hopefully the beef segment at 11 o'clock straight up. But we'll see. Because again, I'm chasing some other things. 1-800-636-8686. Normally I will start a morning by saying, how insert fan base, how you living? Or how insert city, how you living? I've been doing a lot of that. And so I know some of you are living really well right now, and some of you are not happy at all. I'm getting at this. 2 days ago, Philly fan got nice. Philly fan got the ultimate signal from Philly Baseball Club when they signed Trey Turner. Signal being, you know, the signal that every single fan base wants, but not every single fan base gets. The sign that we're all in. We're serious. It's win now mode. It's freaking go time. We don't care what it costs. We don't care what we have to do. We're in it to win it. How many fan bases can honestly say that that's the message they're getting from their team? Not many. Philadelphia can. And that's what happens when you commit a cool bill, with a B, bill, to six players. It sends a very clear signal. However, Philly fan is not the only fan getting that message this week. You know where I'm headed next. You know who's going to get that run. I'm going with San Diego. Well, you cannot say the Padres are not trying. Absolutely. Last night, Xander Bogaerts became a Padre. 11 years. A staggering $280 million. And I better hear some reaction, Padre fan. Because that's big. That's huge. And one of the true shockers of the MLB hot stove season, which hasn't just been hot. It has been on fire this entire offseason. That hot stove has turned into an incinerator. And that's what the Padres lineup could be as well this summer. Check out that lineup. A lineup that potentially will have the likes of Xander, Manny Machado, Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, and Bogaerts. Sounds pretty damn good, doesn't it? I see you working, Padres. I see you hustling. I see you spending. I see you splashing cash all around. I see you making it rain. I see you going all in. I see you going hard. I see you doing everything you possibly can to become that team. Check out these offers that San Diego slammed on the negotiating table in the last week alone. $342 million for Trey Turner. Didn't get it done. Reportedly, $400 million for Aaron Judge. Didn't get it done. And now $280 million for Bogaerts, which I love. Like, no matter how many times they get let down or disappointed or somebody turned them down, they're like, whatever. Keep going. Keep hustling. Keep trying. It's not how many no's, it's how many yeses. We need the one big yes. San Diego is not playing. Owner Peter Seidler is trying to deliver a baseball team worthy of the greatest city in America. America's finest city, San Diego. Also, something worthy of competing with the Dodgers in the NL West, and then, of course, something much bigger than even the division itself, because you do not throw around that kind of jack just to get over on LA, just to win the NL West. You don't spend that kind of money for just that. Listen, I understand, too. I understand that that is a bleep ton of money. A ton of money. A ton of money and a ton of years, especially for a 30-year-old shortstop. Probably too much money. Probably too many years. But I don't care. It's not my money. And it's worth it. Just as I said yesterday about the Yankees and Aaron Judge, they're not thinking about the back end of that deal. Padre fan and Padre front office are not worried about the year 2033. They don't care about that. Maybe they should, but they don't. At least not right now. And I love it. Padre fan and Padre front office are locked in on trying to win it all right bleeping now. So I love that move. Now, if you really want to know if it's worth it or not, check in on Red Sox fan today. Check in with a chowed today. And I don't mean me. I mean a full 100% chowed. I am only half chowed. I don't root, and I'm only half chowed. Find a full chowderhead. Find a full Red Sox fan and ask him or her how they feel about this. Check in with a full chowed and a full-fledged Red Sox fan and be prepared to hear somebody who is really pissed off and devastated. Chowtown, basically in mourning right now, and they should be. If Mookie Betts was the one that got away, then Xander Bogaerts is the one that shouldn't get away. You know, like the other one that got away. If Mookie Betts was the enormous mistake that should have never, ever been repeated, then Bogaerts is the other enormous mistake that just did get repeated. I mean, damn, Boston. You're losing all of your players to SoCal. You're losing all of your players, period.
Period.
Yes, that contract is a lot of money, and it's a lot of years, but better to be in that spot with a stacked lineup gunning for a hunk of metal than wherever the hell the Red Sox are right now, which is essentially in hell. It's a ball club that went just 78-84 and just arguably saw their best player in face of the franchise walk right out that door, which means it's now happened two times in 3 years. Two times in 3 years, Red Sox fan has had to see arguably the best player and face of the franchise leave town. And that, Chowds, in the infamous words of Pervin Liar, is heartbreaking and devastating.
Just devastating. Heartbreaking.
I got to say something else. And for a franchise like that, I would add to it, unacceptable. A similar deal to the Yankees and arson. Aaron Judge. It should have never come to this. Yankees played games. They got burned, but they got lucky. Red Sox played games. They just got burned to the crisp. Boston's last offer reportedly to Bogaerts before the season was 1 year, $30 million. An extension. 1 year, $30 million. Then on top of his three-year, $60 million player option that he already had on the table. So if I'm doing the math right, essentially what their final offer was heading into the season, 4 years, $90 million. And that was back in March. Wonder why he turned that down. 9 months later, that $90 million offer that he had previously turned into a $280 million offer. 11 years, $280 million. Which makes the Red Sox look ridiculous.
Kind of ridiculous.
It makes them look non-competitive. And it's not like they were any more competitive this winter. Check out this tweet from Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Quote, one final note before signing off. The Red Sox did not finish second, third, or maybe even fourth. Via various sources, there were 3 to 4 other teams willing to go to $200 million or more on Bogaerts. He wowed teams in interviews. Sox valued their own player differently than other teams did. End of quote. So not only did the Red Sox lowball their own star, they value him differently than other teams do. It seems like they undervalued their own guy by about 100 mil, which begs a question. The same question that every Red Sox fan is asking right now. The hell is going on in Boston? What are we even doing here?
What are we doing here?
I mean, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Like, the Yankees look pretty bad in that Aaron Judge saga. Somehow the Red Sox look even worse. At least the Yankees got their guy. Should have never come to this. They overpaid. They could have had him cheaper. But at least they got their guy. At least he's still there. The Red Sox just lost another one. Meanwhile, the vibes down the road in San Diego are freaking incredible. I mean, they always are, but the vibes around the Padres have never been better than right now because they are stacked once again. They've got bats, they've got arms, they've got a world-class manager, they've got a GM with zero fear, and they've got an owner making it rain. They're doing everything they possibly can to win it all. But they're not there yet. As far as I'm concerned, there's one more move. One more big swing. Maybe the most critical and at the same time challenging move of all. Maybe the most important. What I'm talking about is the finishing piece. The finishing move. The last piece. And what that finishing move is they have to find a way to trade the "that's what's in"
Billy losers. Going down to yellow and brown. That's what's in.
Get them the hell out of that incredible city.
Let's go, Goose. That's what's in.
Get rid of those knobs. Send them as far away as possible. Trade them to another state, another country, another continent, another planet, another galaxy, another universe, another reality, another timeline, another plane of existence. Hell, straight to the sun, for all I care. I don't even care about the specifics. Just get them the hell out of San Diego. I don't want them anywhere near America's finest city because those dudes completely killed the vibes this past postseason. They killed the vibes. They humiliated the finest city in America. And they actually did put one of those so-called hexy-poos on the Padres.
Hexy-poo, I put a hex on you.
Right, one of those. That can't happen. We cannot see that happen again. This squad is way too exciting, way too good, and there is way too much money committed to let a bunch of tasteless morons bring the whole entire thing down. You might think their 15 minutes ended, but I know better. I know what happens as soon as the Padres make it back to the postseason. Good morning, San Diego. We'll call these clowns right back up.
Clowns.
Probably bring them into the studio this time for a full interview and let them have some small set where they break out some of their new material. An interview and a performance, you know, like they do on morning shows with real bands. You sit them down. You let them preview their new record. They perform, yet no.
That's what's in.
No.
We can't have that. So, AJ Preller, Peter Seidler, Bob Melvin, all icons. I don't need to tell any of those three what to do, except as it relates to this. You do have one more move. I don't care how it gets done. I don't care who gets it done, but it needs to be done. Get them the hell out of that town. It's just not worth the risk, man. As far as the Red Sox, again, Fenway Park. Fenway Park or Fenway Farms? Because Boston is now the farm system for Cali baseball. Never mind waiting for prospects to blossom in the minor leagues. Just roll right into Fenway and get them ripe. The best of the best. The ones that are already stars and ready to roll. You don't need to develop them. You just need to take them off the Red Sox hands because clearly they don't want them. I would assume that Rafael Devers is next on the bargain shelf for the Giants. Like Fenway Farms is one of those farms that you see in the middle of nowhere, right? You're on this long road trip and you're driving and you're driving and you're driving. Then all of a sudden, there it is. Hey, there's Fenway Farms. 10 avocados, $1. You know the signs. 10 avocados for $1. 50 sweet corn for $2. Pick your own fresh strawberries. Get your blueberries. Oh, and pick your own all-stars. The Padres were on that roadie. They pulled over and they grabbed a Xander. Like in the past, the Dodgers would drive by and remember that they got Manny and Nosemar. So they know. They went on a road trip. They made a stop. They pulled a Mookie. Fenway Farms, man, they've got it all. They've got everything you need for the fam. They've got donkeys out front so the kids can take pics while sitting on a donkey. During Halloween, they'll have a corn maze. During the spring, they'll have a petting zoo. And you can ride a pony, tractor rides for the entire family, while sitting on bales of hay. Good place to get your holiday cards done. Hey, by the way, send me your holiday cards to rome@haveatake.com. You know, once you're at Fenway Farms, not only can you get All-Stars and Hall of Famers, you can get some homemade ciders, apple, pear, rhubarb, get a little buzz on. Yeah. You know, I think about that. Makes me want to change my mind about our Christmas break plans. Instead of going to Mexico, I think I might just make a road trip to Fenway. Fenway Farms. It shouts, another one just got away. To quote my famous 100% Chowd father, how's that grab ya? He'd say that. How's that grab ya? Meanwhile, San Diego reaction. I love how hard they're going.
Slam Diego!
Oh, you don't want my 400 mil? No problem. You don't want my 360 mil? No problem. Hey, Xander, you want 280 mil? Good. Good. If you keep backing up the Brinks truck, somebody's going to say yes, ultimately. And that's what happened. And look at that lineup. 1-800-636-8686. All right, a few more topics for you on this Thursday. Don't forget, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets coming up after the program. The Big Head, James Kelly and I, plus the Pro Football Doc are going to have our picks for the NFL weekend. Make sure you look for that after the show. It's not live yet. And save your, I don't want that podcast stuff. Just give me your picks. It's not live yet. We haven't done it yet. We'll do it you can't live. Find it yet. I don't need to say to you, hey, do me a favor. Listen after the show. Well, I mean, do me a favor. Listen after the show. But you're not going to find it because we haven't done it. Another topic. Great, great piece by Seth Wickersham about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck finally coming clean. And finally saying why he retired, when he retired, and how hard the Colts tried to bring him back. And Frank Reich got really cheesy about it. Really cheesy. I want to talk about tonight's matchup, Raiders-Rams. Pretty interesting, right? Even more so that the Raiders are like touchdown favorites. The same Raiders that lost to Jeff Saturday's Colts are favored by a tutty over the defending Super Bowl champs in their house. Ram house. In the house where they won the Super Bowl last year.
Gotta be
the team that just lost to Jeff Saturday's Colts is a touchdown favorite over the team that won the Super Bowl last year in their own house. Crazy. Other doings around the NFL, some quarterback switches, and more. Brittany Griner released. Dramatic release. Did not see that coming. And I want to talk more about that. She is out and she is free. United States and Russia did a prisoner swap. So, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. One bit of reaction. Hold up, Alvy. Because I went as hard as I did in the open. I want to hear what people have to say. Romy, as a fan since the Louis Tiant days. I like that. Louis Tiant. As a fan since the Louis Tiant days, who cried together, hugging my 10-year-old son when they came back four straight against the Yankees. I am furious. These past 2 years, I have no clue what the Red Sox are doing. The Babe Ruth curse has returned because These latest moves over the past three seasons are going to bury this team for the next 5 years at least. Tom in Youngstown. Yeah, I said it myself. The hell is going on there? What are they doing? They made the one mistake that they should never, ever make, and the one mistake that they could never make ever again, and then they made it again. Sean in Wichita writes, "We all love the Red Sox." Signed, MLB GMs. And by the way, that song right there, not ironic. Like, they meant that.
Ironic.
They didn't make that song to be cheesy as hell. Like, whoever laid that track down is serious about it. Man, my ears are bleeding hearing that. Romy, I am 100% chowed. And I am pissed at the Boston Red Sox front office buffoonery. Court clownery and idiocy. Your buddy Eric in Orlando. Yeah, Eric, and we know that you're an expert in buffoonery, court clownery, and idiocy. That's what you're known for, right? If you ever want to check in with anybody on the topics of buffoonery, court clownery, and idiocy, Eric is your man.
Your trip to New Mexico, is there anything I need to know that you did?
No. Why? The answer is still no, Eric. Why? Why do I need to share any details of any trip that I've ever taken with you? Where are you going with that? Anyway, he does echo my point, though. Red Sox fan is pissed and should be. I want to hear from you. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. I've got Ryan Shazier coming up at 940. Eric Musselman, 1020. What's your beef right now? Is scheduled for 11 o'clock. That might change, but just make sure you have your beefs because I'll get them in somewhere. Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you may have made during the pandemic. You know, I talk about this process all the time on the show, but let me remind you, you may in fact be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee if you continue to pay employee wages during COVID. Now, this is for companies of 5 to 500 employees. So do the math there. You might be eligible to up to $26,000 per employee. To find out, and it's quick and it's easy, just make a 10-minute ERC consultation phone call and they'll let you know if you do qualify. In fact, the date from onboarding to filing is only 1 month. They've been in this business for over 15 years. In fact, lots of different businesses, financial management, business leadership, corporate strategy. You can count on Omega every step of the way. Once again, to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. It's not a loan. It's a credit. Or if you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions, 800-704-2000, or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out. Once again, 800-704-2000.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Watching on CBS Sports Network, we just bumped in. There's Wells! No way! We're bumping in holiday cards. Wells in the 1080 made it in. And boy, Wells. I saw Jeff in Richmond, too. Hey, listen, we do this every single year. It's one of our favorite traditions. If you want your Christmas slash holiday card on national television, we can do that for you. Send it to RomeAtHaveAtake.com. RomeAtHaveAtake.com. Remember, all I'm asking in return is that you keep it clean. No profanity, no porn, no sex, no alcohol consumption, no drug usage. Just keep it clean. Keep it respectful. Stay classy. And we're more than happy to bump you in. We just had a series of holiday cards that came in, including Jeff in Richmond and Wells in the 1080. All right, some reaction to Brittany Griner. As you might imagine, there's not a whole lot of this that I can actually read on air. But if you want to have an actual discussion about this, I'm here for it. Darren and Kuna writes, "Hey, Jim, I'm glad Brittany Griner is released. She already did more time than what a little tree should warrant. Now, that said, I also hope she now actually appreciates what she has here in America for a change." Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know that she didn't already appreciate what she had in America. I think you got part of that right. She did an unusually long stint over an unusually small amount of tree. But I don't think that she needed to do that or that she was not appreciative of what she had in the first place. And for the record, I'm not sure that any of us are really appreciative of what we have in the first place. And then there's stuff like this. David Bennett writes, "Hi, Jim. That's awesome to hear. Brittany Griner was released in exchange for a Russian arms dealer. I know you have some listeners in Moscow. Would you mind putting me in touch with him? Thanks, the drummer from Def Leppard." Also very respectful.
Bennett.
Some of you also don't actually like the one-for-one swap. Some of you are trying to grade the trade. Like, who won the trade? You know, you always see the hot take factory go with that after the trade deadline. Because this was an even swap, one for one, some of you are saying, how in the world do you trade an arms dealer and one of the most dangerous guys that there is, somebody looking to kill Americans, for a WNBA star? I mean, really? And I know a lot of you think that because I'm seeing it. You had to get her home. The administration was under immense pressure, and understandably so, to get her home, and did. And that was not going to happen without giving something up in return. So she's on her way back. 1-800-636-8686. Ryan Shazier is going to join me in about 10 minutes. I've got Eric Musselman coming up next hour, and the beef segment, as it stands, is still at the top of hour number three. The Falcons are making a quarterback switch. I want to be careful about that because the first time I brought the possibility of that up, the team's like, nah, no, no, no. Don't do that.
No, no, no.
Yeah, but you're doing that. Can we talk about it now? Also, Baker Mayfield, according to reports, may actually see some action tonight. Man, how desperate would the Rams have to be? And not because it's Baker, and I'm here to crack Baker. I'm here to say, how desperate would a team have to be to play a guy that has spent 2 days with a playbook? And they might. So I've got that for you, too. Also, an update on Odell Beckham Jr. and where his free agent sweepstakes stands. All of that is coming up. But first, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Clones, I know this is a hell of a lot to ask. If you want to talk about the release of Brittany Griner, we can do that. But I'm not here to, quote, evaluate the trade. Like many of you are. Including you, Bella B. I just saw your act. She's suggesting that Danny Ainge would have got a lot more in return. We're not here to evaluate the trade. We could talk about how this came down, how this went down, the initial sentence, the fact that she was there 10 months, the fact that she is coming home. But we're not here to evaluate the even up one-for-one swap. Stop doing that, clones. All right, so still ahead. I've got Ryan Shazier. In fact, I'm efforting that right now as we speak. And I'm glad to see some reaction coming from New England or Boston. You lost another key member of your team, arguably the most important member of your team. That's twice now in 3 years. So now what? Dear Jim, as a resident of New England. My beef is with the Red Sox front office that has absolutely no concept on how to evaluate talent or put competitive offers on the table for top-shelf free agents. Throw in a raise in ticket prices on top of that. John in New England. I feel you, John. Also, get your beefs in. The beef segment's coming up at the top of hour number three. As promised, though, right now we're joined by a former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, a two-time Pro Bowler, co-host of the Don't Call It a Comeback podcast, host of 50 Phenoms, author of the book Walking Miracle. He's the founder of the Ryan Shazier Fund for Spinal Rehabilitation. Ryan Shazier is my guest. Ryan, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you, Ryan. Really appreciate it. So you're an inspiration to so many people. I want to get to your podcast momentarily, but I want to ask you about the book that I mentioned, Walking Miracle. How did you take football, your love of football, and use that as a way to progress forward and carry on with your path once you were hurt? What did football do in that regard?
So football, like it does with a lot of things in life, it kind of taught me discipline. It kind of taught me how to overcome. It taught me just things aren't going to always go your way. So when I was going through my injury, it allowed me to use those lessons and just understanding how to deal with injuries, understanding how to deal with rehab, and just really focus in on that. So every time I reached a goal, I would call it a first down. I know I played defense, but I'll call it a first down. And then when something was really important to me, I would call it a touchdown. So I just allowed those football moments in my life to be able to push me forward to being the guy I wanted to be.
Ryan Shazier joining us. I love the analogy. First downs, touchdowns. And I think also many of us will never forget the image of you walking on stage back in 2018 at the NFL draft, only 1 year after you were injured with your then fiance and now wife, Michelle. Ryan, when you think back on that night, what do you remember most and how emotional was that for you?
It was a very emotional moment for me because I remember when I first agreed to do it, I talked to Roger Goodell and I told him, hey, I think I'll be able to walk by the time of the draft. But if you would ask my trainer, he would have said, man, Ryan, you kind of put a lot of pressure on us. And that's one thing that football helped me out with and that I really remember is the pressure that I put on myself to be able to get back to that moment. And I'm really happy that I was able to do that because I was able to walk out in the draft just to let everybody know that I was blessed enough to be able to walk again. I just wanted to thank everybody, you know, that sent out prayers for me, that was wishing the best for me. And I thought that was a good way of showing people, hey, Ryan is getting better from the situation that he was in.
Ryan Shazier joining us. He's got a brand new podcast, which we'll get into momentarily. Ryan, I want to ask you also, I think, about Tua Tagovailoa. I think a lot of people thought of you when they saw him suffer that concussion back in September because you suffered your injury in a primetime game in Cincinnati. In fact, you went to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, the same facility that Tua went to. What was your reaction when you saw what happened to him?
So when I saw what happened to him, I didn't really have the same reaction that a lot of other people had. So when I see other players get hurt, the first thing I always look for is just if their legs are moving, if they're able to move their lower body. But the first thing I really thought about was just when I see him get hit and his arms lock up the way they did, I was thinking more of UFC. Like I watch a lot of UFC. I watch a lot of Bellator. And I know sometimes when somebody gets a concussion or they get knocked out that, you know, they lock up in that type of situation. But I knew with him being in Cincinnati that you know, like I put on this post right here, that is a great hospital network. They do a great job of just trying to do what's best for the person that they're taking care of at that time. And I just knew that I was in good hands and Tua was in good hands when he was in the hospital.
Ryan Shazier joining us. So a quick follow-up. If you watch a lot of MMA, a lot of Bellator, a lot of UFC, who's your favorite fighter? Who are guys you identify with?
So I'm going to be honest. My favorite fighter is a good friend of mine. His name is Dalton Roster. He's actually like ranked 4 or 5 in Bellator middleweight right now. But if you was to talk about big name fighters, if we're talking about UFC, I'm a big Israel Adesanya fan. I like Ngannou a lot.
Ryan Shazier joining us. I see you working. I feel that. Hey, let me ask you, you obviously still love the game, so let me talk about the Steelers for one moment. They take on the Ravens on Sunday. When you played Ryan in Pittsburgh, I mean, you've been in the middle of that rivalry. How intense were those matchups, and what are some of the moments that stand out to you most about that rivalry?
That rivalry is just so intense. It's crazy because it doesn't matter how good each team is. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough rivalry. It's going to be a physical game. Both of us like to run the ball. Both of us like to play physical football. And you see that when you're watching the game, and you definitely feel it when you're playing. And it doesn't matter if Lamar is hurt or Ben was hurt or one of the main guys was hurt. The physicality is still coming out on that field. And some of the things that I can remember when I was playing was, like, I have two moments. One moment was when I caught an interception in Baltimore the year I got hurt. I remember I did the Ray Lewis dance, and I was just playing around, and I was just happy about having a turnover. But I also remember when we played them in the playoff game before, and Justin Tucker hit a 55-yard field goal to, you know, kick us out of the playoffs. So it just lets me know, like, just the big moments that we've had in those games. And it was just an amazing rivalry to play in when I was playing.
I love that. Ryan Shays here joining us. I mentioned you're the co-host of Don't Call It a Comeback. It's a podcast from Wondery, which highlights some of the best comebacks in sports. Given everything that you've gone through, how important is it for you, Ryan, to tell these comeback stories? And then what are some of the subjects you've been focusing on?
So to me, I feel like it's very important for me to be able to come back and tell these stories. I've had a comeback that a lot of people recognize, a lot of people know, a lot of people support it. But just the fact that we can talk about just players that were counted out, that people just thought their careers were over, like a Geno Smith, to coming back and being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and leading his team to possibly the playoffs this year, to also having teams like the University of Michigan, where we talked about their long run of a losing streak to Ohio State, to actually coming back and playing against us, to even talking about Justin Verlander and allowing him to be able to come back off of the injuries he's had, win a game in the World Series, and then also win the World Series himself. So it was just awesome just to have these type of stories, to be able to talk about just comeback stories, because people love comeback stories. They love to see people overcome. And I think it's very important to be able to talk about those.
Oh, I do too. People do love a comeback. I love the reinvention concept too. So Ryan, for instance, I mean, you're so strong physically. You're so strong mentally. And football gave you a lot of that. But you know how it is. Like, literally everybody watching right now or listening is going through something. I can almost guarantee that. Everybody is always going through something. And not everybody's got that same kind of mental fortitude or that physical strength, or have been through what you've been through. What would you say to somebody right now who feels like they're coping with something that's bigger than them and they don't know what to do and they think they can't handle it?
So I think the biggest thing, just when you're talking to somebody that's going through a lot of adversity, a lot of toughness right now, I think the biggest thing is you have to really focus on that no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're doing in life, life is going to throw you a curveball. When I got hurt, I felt like I was one of the best players in the NFL. And it just, you know, that's everybody's decision. You know, they can make an opinion on that. But one thing I did learn is that no matter who you are or what you're doing, that life can throw you a curveball. Your life can change in a matter of seconds. And you just have to have a great perspective on what you're dealing with and what you're going through to be able to overcome it, and just understand that if you believe that you can overcome something, if you want something bad enough, that it's possible. And you were able to see that with me walking again, and that can happen with anybody with whatever they're trying to do.
I think that's so important, Ryan. And not only that, not only knowing that that curveball is coming, and you know it's coming, because no matter what, it's coming. But if you know it's coming, you should be doing everything you can on a daily basis to set yourself up for that when it comes, because it's not a question of if, it's a matter of when. We know this. Before I let you go, let me ask you about the Steelers. They have won back-to-back games. They're now 5-7. How much improvement have you seen from rookie quarterback Kenny Pickett since he took over?
I'm really excited how Kenny's playing, because at the beginning of the year, he was thrown in the midst of the season. He didn't have a lot of reps with his receivers and tight ends and running backs through camp because, you know, he was practicing with the second and third team. He had a little bit of reps with George Pickens. But to me, I really think with him understanding the offense, with him actually getting used to the guys a little bit more after this bye week, he's taking care of the ball. And I think that Kenny's going to be a really phenomenal player. It just, he needed his time to gauge the offense, gain chemistry with everybody. And we've been able to see that his last 2-3 games. He hasn't really been turning the ball over. He turned the ball over a decent amount his first few games, but he's a rookie quarterback in the middle of the season. Now we're actually seeing him being able to move the offense and put us in position to win games. And I think Kenny's doing a great job right now.
Ryan Shazier, my guest. Ryan, one last thought. You talked about what it was like to be in the middle of that Steelers-Ravens rivalry, which is incredible. You're also part of one of the biggest college rivalries too, Ohio State-Michigan. What was it like to be in the middle of that game and that rivalry?
And that game is such a big game, and it just it's so much weight that's on your shoulders because you're playing for the great state of Ohio, and then obviously it's so much rivalry from that game because of just the history of the rivalry. So when you're playing the team up north and all that goes into it and understanding that you have to go through them to win a championship every single year, it really means a lot. And I know this year has been a kind of tough year for us with us losing to Michigan. But one thing I do know is that we're going to be ready to play this week. I mean, not this week, but in the college football playoffs. And I know that if we get the opportunity to play them again, there's no bigger stage than beating them on the national championship.
Wouldn't that be something? He is a former Steelers linebacker, a two-time Pro Bowler. He's got a brand new podcast out, too. It's called Don't Call It a Comeback. Great, great podcast. Host of 50 Phenoms and wrote a great book, too, called Walking Miracle. Ryan Shazier, my guest. Ryan, really good to have you back. It's always good to talk to you. Appreciate the energy and the message. Thank you so much for that.
No, thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be able to join again, and it's always a good time talking to you.
You too, Ryan. Always a good time. Always a good time. Ryan Shazier, I love that energy. I love the positive message, and there's so much in that. Hope you got as much out of that as I did. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next hour, Eric Musselman will be joining us. The beef segment, and you probably have beef. A little tougher to have beef when you have somebody come on like that who's got that message of positivity. But if you have beef, I'm still here for it. Hey, Jim, Red Sox. You mean the East Coast Oakland A's? Hashtag farm system. Ooh, that is harsh. Drew in West LA. That is harsh. But they're trending that way, aren't they? I'd rather hear from a Red Sox fan. You know, Mookie Betts was one of the worst things ever. You let that guy go in his prime. Such an amazing player. Such a class act. So strong in that clubhouse. Built for it. Built for it. And not everybody is. And you're like, that's a once-in-a-generation mistake. And then they make another mistake not long thereafter. Like, you can't make that first mistake. And then they do it again? Red Sox fan, how can you be happy about that? Hour number two, straight ahead.